Well, I'm glad to be here today. Always good to be at Foreigner Baptist Church. I'm a little more comfortable than I thought I was going to be, because when I got to New Friendship this morning, I realized that my tie fell off my coat hanger that my coat was hanging on. And I like preaching in the coat and tie on Sundays at a church. So anyway, I got through it. I didn't have a tie. And Marty was there, and she evidently thought I needed a tie too, because she called the Mother's Head family, and they got together and raided, I won't call out any names, but they raided one of the men's closet, and they sent this tie to church this morning, and it matches. Looks really good. Looks better than what I had on, to tell you the truth. And so thank y'all back there again for being so kind to share this. And like I said, you better be sure you get a hold of me, because I could walk out of here without it. So with it, I mean. Anyway, it is good to be here, and I'm glad things worked out in my schedule that when Rodney had this unexpected trip to Florida to minister to this family, so I could come and be here. And it was good hearing the Christmas carols. I love those. I don't know why we don't sing them all year long myself. I mean, they're just great, great songs. They got a great message. But I guess it's just one of those traditions. And this is the first Sunday of Advent, and a lot of people all over in churches are beginning that. But I want to, well, since I'm the preacher, I get to pick on what I'm going to preach on. The Lord leads me. And I want to kind of really, before we leave the Thanksgiving season, I want to share some things the Lord has laid on my heart to preach about this morning, and it has to do with Thanksgiving. And it's something that you're all familiar with, because you have right here in your bulletin Psalms 107:1. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his loving kindness is everlasting. And you would just think that that is something that we as people of God, as Americans in our culture, that we would do. And I grew up in a time, and many of you grew up in a time, when that was the most natural thing in the world, to say please and thank you. And thank you for doing this, or thank you for doing that. But believe it or not, maybe you don't even think about this, but I know it's been on my heart, really. It's been bothering me. That what I see happening, another thing that I see happening in our culture and in our society that bothers me and disturbs me. And I hope you don't think I'm crazy or that I'm picky or I'm negative. Look, you don't have to agree with me. I mean, there are people every day who don't agree with me, so you're not going to hurt my feelings. But this is just something that's bothering me, and because I wish we were different. I wish our society wasn't going so much this way. And that is this, what I've noticed, is that, and this year has been more so than any previous years, and it's bad enough in my mind that makes me want to preach about it, and that is in October, the end of October, you know, is Halloween. And so I grew up in a time when Halloween was basically one night. You know, you go out and trick-or-treat, and that was it. You may even do your costume when you got home, at least I did. Get home from school, my mom and dad would help me come up, dress up as something, and go out and get as much candy as I could and all that kind of stuff. But in our culture today, we celebrate Halloween like 3 and 4 weeks, not just one night of the end of October. But I noticed in the stores that the stores were decorated and set up for Halloween weeks before it was Halloween in time for trick-or-treating and kids and whatever. And not only that, is that and maybe it's not that way out here in the rural part, but in the city and in the community that I live in, where our condo is, we have 127 units in there, you would be amazed at how many people decorate their homes with around a Halloween theme, the windows and the door and the yard. And I mean, they spend lots of money decorating. It's not like they just put a pumpkin outside and turn the porch light on. I mean, this elaborate decorations, and they'll have some of them have graveyards set out and play spooky kind of music and all that kind of stuff. And so now it's like we as a culture are really celebrating this Halloween thing. This is just an example. You know, we have two grandkids that live with us, and this year, Noah asked me and Mimi, my wife Kathy, said, "Look, why aren't we getting off for Halloween from school?" I said, "What are you talking about?" And they said, "Well, it's Halloween. How come that's not a holiday?" And I thought, you know what? That's what our culture is doing. We are making such a big deal out of Halloween that our kids think, well, it's as big as Christmas or Thanksgiving, and that they should be getting out of school about that. So now that would be bad enough. Just what I said about Halloween. It's a commercial thing. It's big. There's lots of money spent on it. You got kids that dress up, adults that dress up. I must have got 5 pictures from adults who were showing me how they dressed up for Halloween. Now, but that's not really the part that concerns me, though it is weird. But you move right into, well, what do you think comes next? What should come next? Thanksgiving. But you don't see people decorating for Thanksgiving. You don't even see the stores decorating for Thanksgiving. Because when Halloween is over, you know what they're decorating for? Christmas. And I thought, because I went in and I thought, well, they got the Christmas stuff up. It was like Halloween and then Christmas. And it's like, well, what happened to Thanksgiving? What happened to celebrating Thanksgiving for our country, for God's blessings for us? It's like we just jumped over that. And what's happening is, and what has happened, is that Thanksgiving is becoming demoted or devalued or plays a lesser role in our society and culture. And that is that we would set aside a time to give thanks, to give thanks to God Almighty for our country, for family, for friends, for health, whatever. But no, that's not on anybody's calendar, so to speak. Now, I want to read you this story in the Bible that really kind of helps me think about this. It's found in Luke chapter 17, beginning in verse 11. Luke chapter 17, beginning in verse 11. Now, this is not a parable. This is a real-life story that Dr. Luke records that happened to Jesus. So Luke chapter 17, beginning in verse 11. Now, on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. Of course, I know you guys know this, that Samaritans were looked down. I mean, the Jewish people had nothing to do with them. They just thought, God had nothing to do with Samaritan people. The Jews had nothing to do with Samaritan people. They counted for zero on the scale of value. So that's why Luke points this out, that Jesus, they're traveling along right along the line between Galilee and Samaria. So as he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. Now, I don't know that we have anything in our society that's equivalent to leprosy, because it was a skin, your body loses sensitivity and you can't have any touch, and you begin to wear your skin out and you develop sores all over your body. And in the first century, they had all kinds of ideas about that. They didn't want to touch you. They didn't want to be with you. If you was a leper and you were walking out in public, you had to get on the other side of the street. In fact, you had to shout out to people, "I'm leprous. I'm a leper," so that people would know to get out of the way. They wanted nothing to do with you. So anyway, these 10 lepers were trying to get to where they heard Jesus was. And so it says that they stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." And when he saw them, he said, go show yourselves to the priest, because the priest had to certify that you were clean, if you'd ever been sick or whatever, yet that you were well. So he says, go show yourselves to the priest. Now, as they went, they were cleansed. I mean, they didn't have, you could just look at their hands, and they looked at each other, and they knew that Jesus had healed them. Now, verse 15, one of them, when he saw he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. In other words, or what Luke said, the one you would least likely expect to come back. Jesus asked, were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner? Then he said to him, rise and go. Your faith has made you well. Now, this story really, it has three kind of focal people. There's Jesus. There's the 9 lepers who didn't come back. And then there's the one leper who did come back. Now, when you think about this, I mean, we just hope that in a similar situation, we would be like the one who had been sensitive enough, aware enough, grateful enough to come back to Jesus and say, thank you for healing me. And it just, I mean, really, when I read this story, I cannot imagine how you can be one of the 9 walking down that street and all of a sudden looking, your hands start getting better, your arms are better, your legs are better. You say, well, look, you're better. Oh, your face is better. And all 10 of them kind of doing a check of each other, and they say, we're healed. We're healed. Jesus healed us. Now, can you imagine being one of the 9 and just going on your way to see the priest? That it wouldn't cross your mind to think, oh, I'm going to go back and tell Jesus, say something to Jesus about thank you, Lord, for healing. But these 9 went on their merry way, whatever. Now, I know you may think, Eddie, you're really stretching this, but honestly, I'm just telling you what I believe about this. I believe the Bible is a mirror. I think God gave us his holy word to hold that thing up and read it and let it show us, reveal to us about where we are. Just like this morning when I left, I didn't have a tie on because I had on my coat, but everything else, my hair was looking okay. You know, I passed inspection and could walk out the door. And, you know, we just do that. That's how Scripture is. You hold that thing up and you say, okay, now, how am I looking when I hold my life up to Scripture? So what I sense is a culture, that our culture now is more like the 9 than we are like the 1. That's what I believe. That it's not, we are not a thankful people like we once were. And listen, I think this Halloween Thanksgiving is an expression of that. Now, my kids trick-or-treated and all. I'm not getting down on Halloween kind of stuff. What I'm saying is, I'm talking about culturally speaking, we put more emphasis on Halloween than we do Thanksgiving. That's not about kids. Kids don't control what we celebrate. That's an adult issue. In our society, we put more emphasis on Halloween than Thanksgiving. And you think, well, how did we get there? I mean, how did we get to a place where we are not a thankful people? Now, you know, I can't speak for all of culture. I mean, I know most of culture, half of culture at least act like they're not saved. But I can tell you one thing. I can say something to the church, because I know God expects the church, the people of God, to be different. Now, I want to just look at a couple verses over in the book of Colossians. In chapter 2, just a little short, Colossians chapter 2, verse 6. Now, this is Paul writing to the church at Colossae, and this is what he says in chapter 2, verse 6. So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, in other words, when you became a Christian, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in him. You know, not just when you get saved, but as you are a follower of Christ, there's a certain way you need to live. Okay, it's not about, it says if you're a believer, there's a certain way you need to behave and act. Okay, so he says, continue living in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught and overflowing with what? What does it say in your Bible? Thankfulness, gratitude. That's exactly right. In other words, it says, look, you as a believer, you're one of the ways, how do you know that somebody's a Christian? Okay. This is one way you know that they are overflowing in their life with thankfulness. Overflowing. Now, whenever I see that word overflowing, I think about my grandparents on my mama's side. They lived on a farm, tobacco farm. This may seem strange to y'all, but in North Carolina, I think it's the way they do this. My grandparents would drink coffee this way. They have a coffee cup in a saucer. They would pour the coffee in the coffee cup, and it would run out of the coffee cup into the saucer, and they would drink their coffee out of the saucer. I know it. Oh, you know about that? Are you from North Carolina? Virginia. Oh, it's Virginia too. It seems strange to me. But it was like they drank it from an overflowing cup. Now, always think about that. But Paul is saying that thankfulness is not something that's stuck over in the corner of your spiritual life. It's not something that you do once in a while. You know, it's not kind of minor characteristic. It's equivalent to being, Christians are noted, should be noted for their love for one another. That's a primary thing. This is another primary characteristic of a Christian, is that we should be thankful people. That it should be overflowing in us. That we're just, it's the most natural thing in the world for us as a believers to be thankful about that. Now, over in chapter 3 of Colossians, Paul says something similar. In verse 15, he said, now look, in chapter 3, verse 15, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. And that's another, we're supposed to be peacemakers. Since as a member of one body, you were called to peace. End of sentence. Then this other really short sentence. And then Paul says what? And be what? And be thankful. Paul is saying, be a thankful person. You know, give thanks. Thank people, all that kind of stuff. Now, this may come as a shock to some of y'all, but we're not born thankful. We're not born that way. We don't come out into this world, out of our mother's wombs, and begin to be thankful. And when we come out and we begin life, a baby is probably the most self-centered human being in the world. Because the only thing a baby cares about is itself. When it's hungry, what does it do? Cries. I mean, it don't go whimper either. It cries loud. When it's wet and wants to be changed, it cries. When it wants to be rocked, it cries. The only thing, if anything disturbs that child, they're going to let mama or daddy or somebody know that they're unhappy. Because that's how they're born. They're born with the only thing that matters. Well, they loved it when they were in the mother's womb. Now they're out in the world. They're not too happy to begin with. They come into the world crying. And as long as they're unhappy, they're going to keep on letting you know I'm unhappy and I want you to make my world better. And it reaches its peak when they become teenagers. Because teenagers, maybe not everyone that's ever lived, but most of them are tremendously self-centered. I mean, look, they're just, we were all teenagers, by the way. You know, the only thing matters is how I look and what, am I happy and can I get the car and can I have a room and can I have a cell phone? And, what, you know, the list goes on and on. Because I want it all going just right for me in my world. And that's the human nature in us. So we're not going to pick up a thankful heart by osmosis. You know, just because you're born into the world, you're not going to get this. Now, you hope mom and dad are on the front of the lines of this adventure of teaching children to be thankful. I mean, honestly, I mean, we think it ought to be school. School can help. School certainly can help. The church certainly has a voice in this. But, you know, if we don't have kids coming to church, teenagers coming to church, mom and dads aren't coming to church, it's a good probability that these children are not going to be instructed on if you're a Christian or whatever, that you are to be thankful, overflowing with thankfulness. So we've had families out of a church for, you know, generations now. I mean, you all know that we don't have as many people going to church as we used to. There are not as many in Sunday school. There's not many sitting under the feet of teaching. And no telling how few families there are who have a devotional life at home. So thus saith the word of the Lord, you are to be thankful. We're going to have a blessing. We're going to have, say, the blessing before food. I mean, many families do that anymore. Give thanks before they eat. That's a primary way to teach children to be thankful. That you have something to eat, that your mom and dad fix supper. Because if you start eliminating these things from your teaching of children and grandchildren, they will grow up and be like one of these nine. They will not be thankful. So I could do a 5-hour series on this is kind of how we got there. But this is how I would describe of what's going on. I mean, there's more than this. But there's a couple things. One is that we have now a culture of men, adult men and women, children and youth and all of that, that come out who think about being entitled. You know, so look, when you feel entitled to something, it's a good chance you're not going to be thankful about it. I'll be that way. For example, let's say that Lawrence says to me, because, you know, I've got to be a baseball fan since I started following the Nationals, you know, especially since they won the World Series. I'll just throw that in there. Anyway, so if Lawrence said to me, look, let's go up and see the Nationals play one day. And I said, okay. And he said, I think I can get us a price on tickets. So, and I said, okay, put me in there. So he gets some tickets and say they're $50 a piece. And so I give Lawrence $50. He gives me a ticket. We drive up there and we walk in the gate. Now I have a ticket. I paid $50. I'm entitled to see this game because I paid the ticket price. So I go through the little thing, run my ticket thing through there. I walk in, go to my seat. I don't say thank you to anybody as far as getting in that gate because I paid for my ticket to get in that gate. But suppose Lawrence said to me, he says, look, a good friend of mine is Strasburg. He's a pitcher, Steven Strasburg. And he's invited us to come up to the game. Me and bring a friend. And we're going to get to sit down in the box seat and we're going to be his guests. Won't cost us a thing. When I see Strasburg, what am I going to say to him? Exactly. Because I didn't pay for the ticket. I didn't work for the ticket. I got to be his guest. And so I don't feel entitled to go to the game. I feel thankful to go to the game. You see what I'm saying? So there's a difference between when your mindset is I'm entitled to something, you are less likely to be thankful for it. So if we raise children to think they're entitled, you know, to wear the latest fashion, They're entitled to have a tablet. They're entitled to have a cell phone. They're entitled to get three meals every day. They're entitled for whatever else they think they're... When they grow up thinking that, because we act like that, we teach like that, then when they get to be adults, you know how they act? Well, I'm entitled to stuff. And so they're not going to be thankful because they feel they've been either assumed or by behavior that I'm entitled to something and therefore I'm less thankful. That's one reason. Because of that entitlement, and the other mind says this, is that it goes back to what Paul said about here, about how you were taught. We, the church, I'm talking, we have a responsibility to teach the full word of God. And being a thankful person is part of that teaching. It's not some kind of side thing. It'd be nice if you were this way. No. Being thankful is a core characteristic of a believer. It's to be overflowing in thanksgiving, that you thank people for stuff. Now, but you know what? We tend, look, it's such a subtle thing that's happening to our culture that we're just drifting away from being a thankful people. So, look. I'm not being critical of anybody. I just want to use it to make the point. Nothing in this church that happens by magic. For example, this church is really clean. Yeah, I mean I know because this is a clean church. I mean clean by, you know, there's no dust that I can see. The floor has been vacuumed. All of that kind of stuff. No dust on the window sills, decorations are up, all of that. This church is very warm and beautiful, clean, smells nice. Well, there's no cleaning fairy out there. There's not like a dust fairy that comes in and cleans this place. Somebody has to do that. Now, I don't know who the somebody is, but somebody does it. But see, as we drift away from being thankful and more entitled, you know what? We forget to say to people thank you. You know, we just take it for granted. Now, I'm not trying to make you feel guilty. I'm just trying to drive this point up. Now, you had a choir up here this morning. You know, they had to rehearse. Now, they may rehearse 5 minutes or 5 hours. I don't know. But I can tell you, they added to this service today. This service was better because that choir was there singing. You know that? And we had Lawrence up here doing all the announcement stuff at first. Now, it's easy for us to just take all that for granted. But when we're overflowing with thanksgiving, we're going to say to the choir, we're going to say to Lawrence, we're going to say to our Sunday school teachers, thank you. Thank you for preparing the music. Thank you for, you know, leading the worship service. Thank you for teaching the Sunday school class. Thank you for vacuuming. We're going to do that because we want to be appreciative of people. But we're on a road to where we're not going to be doing that. Our kids are not going to. Well, I can tell you what, my boys better know they better be saying please and thank you. So Noah says, well, do I have to say it every time? I said, yes, every time. If somebody does something for you, I better be hearing you say please and thank you. Well, you know what? When we go to their school and talk with their teachers, you know what all their teachers say about them? They have such good manners. You know why they make a deal to say that? Because it's such a rarity from our kids. It's like, oh my goodness, Noah and Aaron have manners. They say please and thank you. I thought, you know, I said, Kathy, it's just what's happening in our culture. Because we celebrate, we are more excited about Halloween than we are Thanksgiving. I could go on and on about it, but I'm just going to do this one more thing, then we'll go home. Here's the other thing that happens. Look, when you understand what happened in terms of getting saved, that it creates such a humbleness in your mind. When you realize that you're not worthy to spend 1 second in heaven with the Lord God. But, you know, but here's what happened. This is how Satan deceives us. You know, we look how we behave. We do nice things. We go to church, put money in the church, sing, all that kind of stuff. And we read about people who, I mean, are evil. Evil. And we think, well, I'm better than they are. I know I live a better life than, oh, well, you do live a better life. But you know what Satan does? See, Satan makes us think, well, we're pretty good people. But let me tell you something. Without Jesus Christ, y'all, we'd be as lost as any person who ever set foot on planet Earth. There's not a person in this room, there's not a person in this state, there's not a person in the world who's ever going to be in heaven who's not there by the grace of God. That when Jesus died on a cross for us, he died for everyone because all of us are sinners saved by grace. You know, he paid the debt for us that we could not pay for ourselves. We could never be good enough. I don't care if you moved into the church and gave all your money to the church, you wouldn't be perfect. God did for us through the gift of his beloved son who died for us. And remember when Jesus said to the Father, he said, look, is there another plan? Is there another way? Can this cup pass from me? Remember when he was in the garden and said that? And God said, no, there's not another way. There's not another person. There's not another option. This is it. You're going to have to take on all the sins of all the world for all time. You're going to have to feel that pain. And we're going to be separated for a time. And God and Jesus being the obedient son, God the Father, because he loves us, they did that. Jesus died for us. He paid the debt. And we're saved, not because we're good, not because we're better than somebody else, but because of the grace of the Lord God. So, that ought to affect our mindset. I mean, that should just create a thankfulness, because really what I deserve is to be some homeless person on the streets in some third world country. That's what I deserve. But because of God's grace and mercy, I was born in this wonderful country of wonderful parents and have wonderful friends like you. How could I be anything but thankful to the Lord God? But our culture is moving away from that. So, look, this sounds really pessimist, but I'm telling you, if Christians don't become more thankful, I know this is what's going to happen. We're already seeing, I think, Thanksgiving getting squeezed out by Halloween. But what I think is another 25 years from now, you're going to see Christmas get squeezed out by New Year's and the Super Bowl. Because you think about this. There's more energy and there's more whatever going on about New Year's Eve and all of that stuff and the Super Bowl than it's about Christmas. And now there's so much, you know, politics and restrictions about Christmas. So you see it happening. You see Christmas being shrunk down. You see Halloween edge is flowing over right over top of Thanksgiving. And what you're going to see is that we're going to have a culture that doesn't pay any attention to Thanksgiving or Christmas because we're caught up with Halloween, the New Year's, and the Super Bowl. So we have to make the difference in this. It's on us. It's on us to not just write this stuff in our bulletins, but we are to be giving thanks to the Lord. You think about it, we have this beautiful, beautiful sanctuary. We have our health. We're here with people we love and laugh with and cry with and pray for and all. And we have a pastor. We have so much to be thankful for. There are people who are meeting under trees. There are people who are meeting to worship who are worried about their lives being taken from them because of that. I was hearing just today coming up that Christians are the most persecuted people group in the entire world. Christians are. And yet right now, in this moment, we have the freedom to worship on a day like today. We should be so thankful. Overflowing. So, I mean, I can tell you what this message did to me. It's made me redouble my efforts toward my grandkids. And of course, we already said the blessing before we eat every meal in a restaurant or not. But we're going to talk more about being thankful. I'm going to help them learn how to be thankful, you know, and not just automatically Granddaddy and Mimi do all this wonderful stuff. I want to see that in them. And I'm going to preach on this more, not just at Thanksgiving, but I'm going to preach on. And when somebody asks me, well, what does it mean to be a Christian? I'm going to tell them, well, it means this, that you are overflowing with thankfulness in your life. Which makes me wonder, well, what about those people who may even go to the church, but they're highly critical? You ever met any of those kind of people? Who they're negative about everything. They're not thankful about anything. The glass is always half empty. No matter what you preach or no matter what you sing, no matter what the temperature is, they're unhappy with it. That is not the characteristic of a believer. A believer is one who loves people and is overflowed with thanksgiving. Amen? All right, let's pray some. Father God, I thank you for this story. I mean, it's unbelievable that somebody could be that sick, could have a disease like leprosy, and not be thankful. It's hard for me to imagine. But Lord, all I have to do is think about our culture here in America. We're the most blessed country that ever existed. The United States of America. We have the best climate. We're productive. We've had this wonderful government. It gives us freedom. We have all of this stuff. And yet we are just like the nine. We get more excited about Halloween than Thanksgiving. God, I just ask in my own life that you would forgive me for so many times just feeling entitled to your goodness and the blessings. Help me, Lord, to be more thankful and to have more gratitude and to say thank you literally hundreds of people that make my life better every week because of nice things that they do. People I work with, people that I play golf with, people that my family. I just ask God that I would never take any of that for granted and help open my eyes and my heart so that I would be more thankful. And God, I just ask that you would help your church, help us as the body of Christ, regardless of what's on the calendars, that we will stand up for something as important as being a thankful people. And above all, God, I thank you for our salvation in Jesus Christ. None of us earned it. None of us are entitled to it. None of us are good enough for it. It's only because you love us that you have created this opportunity to be your children, to be looked at differently by you because of our relationship with Christ. God, help us to never take that for granted. For we ask that in Jesus' name. Amen. Our hymn of commitment this morning is hymn number 182, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. I'm going to come to the front. Lawrence is going to be up here with me. We're going to sing, and if the Holy Spirit's moved you this morning, you want to come rededicate your life, you want to give a testimony, you want to just become a Christian, receive Jesus into your life, want me to pray with you, whatever it is, want to join this church, I can understand that for sure. We want to give you an opportunity to do that. And so let's stand and sing hymn 182, What a Friend We Have in Jesus.